We'll have the sermon brought to us by Mr. LeBlanc.
Thank you, Corey. So I have a number of subjects I'm going to be covering today. Not necessarily my favorite subjects, but it's the lay of the land and the times we are in. I wanted to talk a little bit about Afghanistan. The main thrust of the message today will be the mark of the beast. I wanted to finish up on that topic. But first, let's take a look at prophecy and world news. And I wanted to address certain topics regarding world news because it is quite significant. Some events, certain things going on here on the global stage, including Europe and, of course, the Middle East. So let me introduce you, first of all, first topic today. I want to introduce you to Giorgia Meloni, who is a hot topic in Europe right now. Hot enough that I wanted to discuss her and her significance, because what you're seeing once again is you are seeing these Europeans in various countries, particularly Poland, Hungary, Romania, and even Italy, which is a very important country in Europe. What we are seeing is we are seeing the rise of right-wing parties in Europe. So she's becoming enormously popular in Italy, and she could be the next leader of Italy. And the elections take place in 2023, I believe. So she's the far right's latest figurehead and threatens to send Italy down a dangerous authoritarian path we've seen elsewhere in Europe. Now, that's, you have to understand, the press has their leaning. So they don't particularly like her, but she's becoming more and more popular in Italy today. She is photographed here with Viktor Orban, the leader of Hungary, and she is the leader of the Brothers of Italy party. The Brothers of Italy party, I don't know, you Italians, do you know the Italian national anthem? I believe it opens with, "We are brothers of Italy." You Italians, you're John and Albert, come on, guys, you know, got to know your Italian national anthem here, huh? But she's very popular. Pro-family, a very anti-immigration, and I'll be talking about this in just a moment. Very anti-immigration, not against the European Union, but what is taking place is these far-right parties, instead of preaching we need to leave the European Union, now they are saying, which is smart politically, we're going to take over the European Union. Previously, a year ago, they were saying they were going to leave the European Union. Now, Marine Le Pen, National Rally Party in France, she's very, very popular, is polling ahead of Emmanuel Macron, possibly could be the next leader of France, because Macron is going down in the polls. And what these individuals are saying, instead of leaving the European Union, 27 members of the European Union, total population base of about 450 million people, this is big. Their economy is bigger than the United States. What these far-right parties are saying is, we'll take it over, which is really brilliant politically. And frankly, that's what they should do if you just talk about the human level here of what's taking place. So I wanted to give you a visual introduction of her. Okay, anti-abortion. Most of these so-called right-wing parties are anti-abortion, pro-family, anti-immigration, and pro, you make your own choice when it comes to the vaccination, that the government should not be dictating whether you get vaccinated or not. They're not against vaccinations. They're just saying, we let us as individuals make that decision. Again, rallies are scheduled throughout Europe regarding this concern about governments dictating what to do regarding the vaccination. So I thought it was important for you to see her. We're going to be following her closely. Italy's important. It's a significant population. It carries an enormous amount of debt. Germany has invested in Italian debt over the years. So it's not just a deadbeat country. Got to pay attention to what's going on in Italy. This is why I bring it to your attention. She is the talk of Europe right now. She's the talk of Europe right now. I think only 40, 41, 42. So you see her splashed on the covers of the European newspapers, and I believe it was the European edition of Bloomberg, but you hear nothing about her over here because we're in our own little world here, to be frank. We're separated by those two oceans. In America, when it comes to world news, it's just its own little world, and that's unfortunate. So you have these far-right parties doing better in the polls. Spain's Vox party, Italy's Lega Nord party is also far-right. Hungary's Fidesz party, Orban, is very popular. Poland's Law and Justice party, their chief pillar, all of them, including the FD party out of Germany, is no way are we going to allow any more Muslim refugees to enter our country or cross our borders. So it's very important for you to understand the tensions mounting across Europe. It's very important for all of us to understand as well what happened, particularly in Afghanistan this past week. Many European leaders convened under different pretexts, but basically they convened. There was an emergency meeting of European leaders. What are we going to do with all these Afghan refugees that are many hundreds of thousands want to come to Europe? Okay. It's a sad situation, like Albert said, because the reality is most of these refugees are probably very nice people and just want to escape with their families and don't look to be terrorists anywhere and would like to lead a quiet life. And they're afraid. And the Taliban is known for its abuse of women, which is terrific. That somehow the Taliban is now going to change is a figment of people's imagination. Rape is very common within that culture. It's a brutal society when it comes to women. So it's just very, very tragic, all of this. Very, very sad, heartbreaking, really. So you're going to get hundreds of thousands of people who want to move through and into Europe. So again, I'm not going to talk about this every week, but I think it's important for you to understand. So I want to give you a sense of what's going on in Afghanistan. Now, most of those people, the refugees, are going to head and make their way possibly through Turkmenistan, but eventually they want to find their way to Europe. They don't necessarily, nor are they necessarily welcome in other Muslim nations, okay? Some will make their way to the United States. So this is what happened. This is important to understand what happened here. Afghanistan collapsed this week. The message around the world is the leadership in America is deeply confused. This sent a message on all the major television networks, whether it be in Russia, whether it be France 24, whether it be Russian television, whether it be Al Jazeera out of Qatar. Most of the Arab world listens to Al Jazeera. They have 260 million homes tune into Al Jazeera every week out of Doha, Qatar. They all see the same images, people desperate to leave Afghanistan and people handing their babies kind of over this wall into the arms of American soldiers. The message is crystal clear. Nobody denies it. All over Europe as well, they are seeing that America has lost its footing, deeply confused, doesn't seem to have a clue what it is doing. Totally misjudged the situation in Afghanistan. We were always going to pull troops out, but the way it was done and handled at the last minute, people really across the world don't understand what happened. Total collapse within 48 hours. There's a proverb in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1 that says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. America doesn't fit that category anymore. Nations can be bold as well. We've lost our righteousness as a nation. There are pockets of righteousness, and there are pockets of Americans who fear God. They don't have a total understanding of all the laws of God, but you find pockets around the country. They basically believe in the Ten Commandments. Obviously, they're confused about the Sabbath, you know, because their religious teachers have deceived them. But it is a country not blessed by God. What this has created is this huge leadership vacuum in the world. So America is talking tough, but Russia, China, terrorist groups like ISIS, which still exists, like Al-Qaeda, which still exists, like the Taliban, knows that we don't have a backbone. It's not there. It's over. This is very dangerous, what's taking place here. It is just a matter of time before rigorous, violent terrorist organizations reestablish themselves, resurge again in various parts of the world. This is the concern in Afghanistan. Afghanistan used to be one of the homes of Al-Qaeda. It'll probably be the home of Al-Qaeda again. Remember, Osama bin Laden orchestrated his strike against the United States from Afghanistan. Then he quickly rushed across the border and ended up hiding in Pakistan. And then eventually we found him and the Navy SEALs took him out. The truth is Pakistan knew Osama bin Laden had been there for some time. You can't tell me Pakistan didn't know. But Pakistan were our, quote, allies. It's a real tangled web here. Afghanistan is a nest of scorpions. America's out. We don't have any more power there. It's over. Filling the void will be China, Pakistan, and Russia. But they too have been bitten or stung by the scorpions in the past. Taliban are a tough people. They're a tribal Pashtun people. They are not ethnically Arab, though they're Muslim. They're Sunni Muslim. But they're their own people, and no one's going to give them orders, though much of their financial backing comes from Pakistan. China wants to build a pipeline that basically goes from Iran through northern Afghanistan, through northern Pakistan, then into China, because China wants Iranian oil. So this is China's chief interest in having a good relationship with Afghanistan. It's already recognized the Taliban. But China knows it's got a nest of scorpions. Already, Chinese working in Afghanistan have been killed by terrorists in Afghanistan. This is a hellhole. It's not going to be pretty and nice now, even though the Taliban are acting pretty and nice. They say women will be able to do this and women will be able to do that. It's absurd. And you see Europeans, European press in particular, saying such things. We're crossing our fingers, hoping that they are different. I never cease to be amazed how incredibly naive Europeans and Americans are. And I don't know who's more naive at times. Who stands on top of the dumb pole? This is very serious because it has destabilized the whole region. And it's a very dangerous part of the world. Technically, it's not the Middle East. It is South Asia. What it is doing and what the fall or the way America has handled this over the past week or so, what it has said to the world, at least at this time, it could change, but it has said to the world, we don't have the backbone anymore. We just don't. So it will invite all types of other problems. Now, it doesn't mean the Chinese or the Pakistanis or even the Iranians are going to have a good time in Afghanistan. I think they're all going to be stung by the scorpion eventually, because everybody's stung by the scorpion. It's a very difficult region of the world to subdue. Even Alexander the Great had trouble with Afghanistan, and that man was uber tough. He had trouble with northern Afghanistan. The British were driven out of there. The Russians were driven out of there. We're driven out of there anyway. I'm just trying to give you a sense of this. This is not just a small regional conflict. The Europeans, the Russians, the Chinese, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iran, Israel, everyone has seen how America responded this week. We're barely functioning there. We've got over 10,000 Americans there. Will we be able to get them out? There are at least 10,000 other Europeans within the country. Can they get them out? Now, I suppose it would be wise on the Taliban's part to allow as many people to leave as possible because they can continue to pretend that they've changed. We'll have to wait and see. And I hope the Americans can flee and others can flee as well, particularly the women and the children. And my heart goes out to the women and my heart goes out to these 9, 10, 12, 14-year-old girls living in Afghanistan today. But the world has seen that we're not as bold as a lion anymore. So a power vacuum will be filled. Europe realizes, and Germany is waking up to the fact that even Germany cannot rely on the United States to protect it militarily. Ever since World War II, Germany has relied on America, who willingly protected Germany, West Germany, and then eventually when East Germany merged with West Germany, that America was there to protect, that NATO was strong. But the leader of NATO, the United States, is not strong anymore. So this is forcing Germany to rethink its military goals. It's not that Germany now wants to conquer the world. That'll come, but it's not right there now. But they're forced to, because you can't rely on the United States anymore. Even our Arab allies, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, realizes, at least for now, they cannot rely on the United States. Israel realizes now you can't rely on the United States. So what you're seeing in the Middle East, South Asia, and even in Europe, you're seeing all this repositioning going on. Heads of state meeting with one another, diplomats making phone calls. America is still on top of the pile economically, but there's not much below the surface. It's just a fact. Everyone sees it. America's allies see it. Even CNN News, which is very pro-democratic and pro-President Biden, and the Washington Post, which is uber-democratic, came out and attacked the president regarding what happened this week. So there is a great upset, even within the Democratic Party. Now, what do we do? So these are major shifts. Europe is saying, behind closed doors, where are all these Afghan refugees going to go? There are 40 million Muslims living in Afghanistan. Many of them want to go to Europe. And they're going to try to go to Europe. They're desperate people, in a sense. How can you blame them? If I were a dad, I were living there, I know it's ridiculous, but I'd be taking my kids one way or the other. We're going to get into Europe. Or at least my teenage kids are going to get there one way or the other. I'll sell everything I have to get them there somehow, some way, where they're safe. So this is the great topic yet again on the European continent. And it kind of just shifted over the past week or 10 days. Oh, no, what are we going to do with all these refugees that we know are going to come our way? Getting into Europe, there are no walls, there aren't big walls. Well, there are some walls, you know. Poland monitors its borders. Hungary monitors its borders. Nations such as that. The Italians, who were quite welcoming of refugees previously, are saying, we can't do it anymore. The Greeks are saying, we can't do it anymore. We can't pay for it. Sweden certainly doesn't want more refugees in Sweden. That has turned into the rape capital of Europe. It's not an exaggeration. These are big issues over there. So it's seeping into the political structure. Do you see why this is so serious over there? It's all playing out. So when there's instability in the world and upset, what do people do? More and more people turn to a strong leader. That's just the natural reaction. It doesn't mean Hitler's going to rise immediately here in the next 2 or 3 years. I have no name to give you. Oh, watch Mr. So-and-so. There's no name there. But there will be the name when Satan decides and God allows it. And Satan will decide it, not the Illuminati. The Illuminati's not going to decide who the great dictator of Europe is. Satan will decide that. I'm not saying that's going to happen immediately, but you can see the churning, the instability, the fear, the anger. Europe still hasn't recovered economically from a few years ago. And again, European nations don't have it in their budgets to take care of these people. Hate to put it this way, but how do you test these people who could possibly have COVID? Or do you just let them in and then test later? Do you see what's going on in Europe? You got a fire brewing there. It's already there. The fire's there. It's just how big it's going to be. Up in Northern California, we have the Dixie Fire. Have they put that out yet, or is that still burning? Are they getting close to doing anything with that? In a way, Europe, It's not the Dixie Fire yet, but it'll be the Dixie Fire. Dixie Fire is what? It's one of the biggest fires ever in the history of the state, correct? We're getting a lot of smoke. I don't know if we have as much today, but yesterday was pretty bad. Got a text from Teresa Carlson. I guess it was going all the way over to where they live, too. It's incredible, right? California fires impacting other parts of the United States that way. So this is important. I'm not going to talk about it every week. Pakistan, 230 million Muslims. Nobody trusts them, really. They claim to be our allies, but they hit Osama bin Laden. We were giving them over $3 billion a year to try to buy them off. But that was a big mistake. But see, America, Republicans too, not just the Democrats, Republicans too, all through the years, we try to buy off these people. One of the great sins of America, I have it in 40 Sins of America, is America buys off nations. We try to buy favor, and we were paying Pakistan $3 billion a year to kind of help us contain terrorism over in that area. They didn't really help us much. You know, let's go to Jeremiah 30 and verse 14, see one of America's sins. We have our lovers, right? We have these Arab nations. We have these South Asian nations. They're all going to turn on us when it's all over. Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30 and verse 14. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy. That's ahead for this nation. We're going to be punished. Right now, the trouble we're suffering in this nation, the division and everything, I think it's self-inflicted. Wait till God's punishing hand is upon us. Totally different thing. It's going to be total devastation. Some of the prophecies in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, you're talking about massive death tolls, incredible surges of pestilence, a third of the people dying here, a third dying or taken into captivity because of war. Of course, it's going to happen because finally, God will say, I've given you enough time to repent, but you have not repented. There's still a chance for America to repent. I think it's beyond the point of no return. There's a little flex here and there. Like I said, there are some people, depending what part of the country, who not perfect. I understand they don't understand everything we know, but they basically respect the laws of God. They don't believe in abortion. They try to keep the commandments of God to a certain degree. A basic fear is there, but that is shrinking all the time. Notice what it says, Jeremiah 30 and verse 14. With a chastisement of a cruel one, this future European dictator, I'll talk about that in a little bit, for the multitude of your iniquities because your sins have increased. God can deal with sinners. There's a savior, but it's a nation that doesn't repent. This is what's so dangerous. There's no repentance or very little repentance. God is powerful, not that he likes it, but he can deal with people who have sinned. We have all sinned. But when you continue to abort over a million babies a year, when men continue in America, and it's a hidden pandemic in our country, beat the daylights out of their girlfriends and their wives, 1 in 4 women, they say, live-in partners, whatever word you want to use, I hate that word, wives, 1 in 4 are beaten by the male in their lives. When we have turned into the great drug culture, so many people are into all types of drug abuse, you know our sins. I don't want to overdo that today. I mean, it's serious, but I need to talk about some other things. Because of your sins have increased, I've done these things to you. In other words, the tide of sin is not changing, is it? It's getting worse and worse and worse, and people are accepting more and more and more. Then it speaks about a captivity. Verse 16, you will be devoured and all your adversaries, every one of them. Eventually, they go into captivity. God will punish this European beast power. This is all ahead of us. This is clearly an end time prophecy. You can read of it in Jeremiah 30 and 31. Clearly, it mentions at the end of verse 24, in the latter days, I'm not here to prove it's an end time prophecy. It definitely is. There are scriptures that make it abundantly clear. This is an end time prophecy. Finally, Christ returns, verse 9 of chapter 30, and he establishes David as their king. David will be raised from the dead, and finally, all the suffering will end. So this is all yet ahead of us. So what the Middle East is just the reality of life. It's a real world. In the real world, talking, having summits means little. You either have to have the financial power or the military power and the willingness to use it to get people's attention. That was the Moab bomb that was dropped, I think, in 2017. It got the attention of all the terrorist organization. It killed many Al-Qaeda. It can bunker bust. I'm not saying that the whole solution is always you bomb people, but it's the reality of the way these Middle East nations or even European nations or the Russians look at us. America talks big. We draw red lines. But then when people cross the red lines, we don't do much. So unless over the next couple of weeks, there's an equivalent of this drop upon terrorist locations, and they know where they are, whether it be even Pakistan or Afghanistan, you're not going to get the attention of the Taliban. I'm not advocating we should go back into war there or something. I'm just talking about real politics in a real world, okay? Foreign Affairs Magazine, interesting. I have a subscription, you know, mix of kind of left, center, and sometimes right. Cover article, Decline and Fall, Can America Ever Lead Again? Decline and Fall, Can America Ever Lead Again? That's some good articles. Well, we don't know. We don't know who will be the next leader. We don't know if President Biden will be the leader a year or 2 years from now. That people realize he's struggling with issues. And those decisions will be made by the Democratic Party. So I'm not saying everything is going to go to pieces forever immediately. As I mentioned before, you could take a look at the kings of Judah. It looked like the country was going down fast, and it was, but then all of a sudden God would allow a righteous king to rule yet again. Hezekiah was a perfect example of that. And there was a degree of stability and you could even say blessing in the nation. But then when he died, it all went to pot. Was it Manasseh who followed him, which was one of the worst kings of all? So I'm not saying everything's all over with. You could still see another king, another leader come to power that gives a certain degree of stability to the nation. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I think you need to be aware that it's not just business as usual. What happened in Afghanistan was huge this week, visually. The whole world saw it. And I think the president's going to have difficulty over the next years to explain it, live it down, however you want to put it. And when you have people in his own party who are saying that this doesn't look good for the party, it doesn't look good for the leadership, all of that is yet to play out. And an interesting week. And may Christ's kingdom come truly. So many Muslims are genuinely nice people. They really are. I don't know if you've had Muslim friends. I've had a few and a couple of Iranian friends in the past. Had another friend, a female friend, who she wears the hijab. Haven't heard from her lately, but she lives in the Balkans. I met her when I went over there in Bosnia, Herzegovina. She used to keep in touch with me. Some of these people are really nice people. Love their kids. You know, they're not looking to bomb someone. I don't agree with Islam, okay? Don't misunderstand. But I feel so sorry for these kids and these women. It's not going to be good over there. So I wanted to mention that. Now, to the subject at hand, it's very important. There are other subjects I have more interest in. I'd rather talk about prayer or faith, those types of subject, or to hear Albert's subject, the trust I thought was so good to be reminded of that. Appreciate that, those 7 points. It's important. God blesses us when we trust him. But there's a lot of talk out there about the mark of the beast. And is it a chip? Is it the vaccine? It's not a chip and it's not the vaccine. it really is something that separates the people of God from much of the world. So let's just take a look at the history. Now, there could be a chip, and they may try to force vaccinations or something like that or something else medically in the future. I watch Europe particularly. I want to see what are they doing on. Let's not forget the beast is not American. The beast is European. I want to know what they're doing over there. I want to see how they're controlling, how they're managing their herds over there, okay? And I don't have any leader I can say, oh, watch this person. I think the church did that a little bit too much over the years, and it didn't pan out. When it's time, we'll know. We'll know. So understand this. Let's begin with this concept, okay? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in terms of this mark, Deuteronomy 6. And again, this European system may impose some type of a pin you wear. Wouldn't surprise me. Americans wear different pins to let them know what they are. We have the Irish, what, on their day, St. Patrick's Day, everybody wears green. Do we have any Irish here today? Just curious. Oh, Nancy. Well, I'll be watching you, Nancy. Do you wear green? You know, there's all these various pins that say something about what you believe. Remember Adolf Hitler had this Roman salute, you know, the Sieg Heil? And if you were in a room and everybody was doing Sieg Heil and you weren't, you stood out. There could, I believe there's going to be something, some type of look or image or little thing you pin on, but I don't mean that's the mark of the beast. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Let's go to verse 2. You must learn to fear the Lord your God, to keep all of his statutes and commandments, which I command you, you and your son, all the days of your life. So the commandments are paramount to our relationship with God. I mean, very important. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and might. Verse 5. Jesus Christ is of first importance because of what he suffered. We have the forgiveness of sin, or you don't have anything. Commandments are important, but Christ is most important because if you don't have Christ's sacrifice, you don't have anything, right? Our sins aren't covered. I mean, you don't have anything. There's no hope of the kingdom of God or anything. But Christ taught the commandments that they should be in our minds and hearts. Verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Verse 8, this is key. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. So you live it, your hands, you work it, you live it. That's the sign, the commandments. It's the way you live your life and you keep the Sabbath. It's the commandments of God are the frontlets of your eyes. It's how you think. You let the law of God dominate how you treat people, how you worship God. Do you see the sign here? It's very simple. Very simple. Okay. Now, there are other scriptures I could show you, but I'm not trying to go through everything today. I just want to distill it down. The law of God is very important. The Sabbath is very important. Let's go to Exodus 31 and verse 13. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Speak to the children of Israel. Surely my Sabbaths, plural, 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 plural. Holy days as well are very important. You know, to me, you can't separate them. I think sometimes, I don't mean it's wrong per se. I think sometimes we tend to think we're a Sabbath-keeping church, but that doesn't really reveal the full picture. We are Sabbaths-keeping church, really, because the festivals of God, which in the holy days of God, which are coming up, tell us what the kingdom of God is broadcast. So obviously we believe in the Sabbath, and that stands out because we do it every week, but it's the Sabbath shall be a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. These Sabbaths define who the true God is, okay? Sunday doesn't tell us who the true God is. The Sabbaths of God reveal who the true God is. Isn't it interesting? When God's people were persecuted, possibly even to the point of death, what was the persecution over? Let's go to the book of Esther, chapter 3. And I think it'll be the same when this European beast power arises. Same persecution, because Satan's doing the persecution. Satan hates the Sabbaths of God. Satan hates the law of God, because the Sabbaths reveal the plan of God. And the Sabbaths also proclaim the worship of God and how Christ is central to all of that. So you go to the book of Esther here. Book of Esther after Nehemiah. Remember, this is when the Jews are in Persia. And Haman, chapter 3 of Esther, Haman 3 and verse 8 says, Haman said to the king Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered, verse 8, and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are different from other people's laws. They do not keep the king's laws. And I'm sure that would include clean and unclean food, but, you know, the Sabbath. So his way of getting to the king, and he was deceiving the king, was saying, those Jews, they have their Jew stuff. They have their Sabbath, holy days, clean and unclean meat. And then he tries to hatch this plan to kill all Jews. A massive Holocaust almost took place back then. Kill them all. Kill all the Jews. But it was foiled, and Esther, this very brave, wise woman, was used by God. Here's where God primarily uses a woman to save the whole nation from the Holocaust. The primary tool was a woman. Did you ever think of that? Primary tool was a woman used to save the people from the Holocaust. Not saying other people weren't involved. Well, everybody prayed and so on. So in no way does God's word treat women in some inferior role, a different role, yes. Obviously, Jesus Christ was born of Mary. And in other ways, God edifies women. Just different. So notice it was over the law. Let's go to Daniel, another example of this. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. So the persecution from Satan using a dictator and human instruments in a false church, he's going to go after the law of God and people who keep the law of God. So we shouldn't get overly concerned. Is it a computer chip or is it a little tattoo you've got to put on your forearm or something? I don't know these things. There may be pressure to do things like this, but it's really attacking those who keep the law of God. Let's go to Daniel 6. What's interesting in Europe now is to see how Europeans are responding to governments that just mandate, you need to do this. But this is what Germany did back in 2015. Angela Merkel said, we're opening up the border to all these people. There was no vote taken. She mandated Germany would open its borders. And over 1.5 million refugees, primarily from Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, primarily, flooded into the country. She didn't ask for anybody's approval. This is what's made many Europeans leery now. Macron in France has said, okay, everybody get the vaccination or else you won't be able to go to restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. So the French are livid over this. Many of the French. But it's happening in other parts of Europe. It's the dictate of the government that people have a problem with. Daniel 6, they're looking to find fault with Daniel. They're looking to accuse him. They're looking to kill him. How do you kill people? Go after these people who keep these laws. So the governors who wanted to get rid of Daniel, it was a death sentence, really. Verse 4, because he had so much influence in the empire. Verse 4, it says, so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Okay? He was a good man, an unusual man. verse 5, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They go after the law. They go after the law. Ten commandments, sure. But of course, the Sabbath sticks out more than any of the laws. My opinion at the end, because we don't live in a sophisticated world, they're just going to say of you and me, you no good, dirty Jew. You're a Jew. That's why I really watch the anti-Semitism, the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe. You're going to be lumped in with the Jews because you keep the Sabbath. Eventually. Now, right now, that's pretty much a non-issue in this country. Jewish hatred is rising in Europe. Over the past few years, a record number of Jews are leaving European cities, and they love Europe. Jews love Europe. Culture, it's kind of a socialist system. They kind of take care of you. Great restaurants, wonderful music. Europe offers a lot. A lot of Jews don't want to leave. The French Jews love France. They love France. They'll tell you that. But they feel threatened. Used to be the Jews in Sweden loved Sweden. But now there's so many Muslims in Sweden, they don't feel safe in Sweden, you see. Jews used to actually like Germany, even after Hitler. Many Jews, there's about 118,000 Jews living in Germany today. But so many Muslims have moved. And so Jews are looking either to go to Israel, the United States, Canada, if they can get in there, or to Britain. And it's a big topic. I'll show you the cover spread. I think Time did a couple of years ago of this dark, dark cloud hanging over Europe today. Jews are afraid in Europe. This is no exaggeration. They're seeing a level of Jewish hatred not seen since the end of the Second World War. So the mark of the beast has to do with the law of God primarily. Let's go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Revelation chapter 14. Now remember, there will be two witnesses who will be preaching to the whole world. And yes, they will be Sabbath keepers. They'll be talking about other commandments as well, but they will be considered no good, filthy Jews, to be blunt. I could be even more blunt. So the world will clearly see there's a difference. If you go to Revelation 14 and verse 12, here's the patience of the saints. This is a great definition of the saints. These are the people who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. We stand out because we keep the commandments of God. Verse 17 of Revelation 12, the dragon, Satan, who uses this European beast dictator along with the Catholic Church. Verse 17, the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God. Satan goes after the people who keep the commandments of God. The Sabbath is in bold and it glows because that really separates us from other people. Then you're just a Jew, as far as they are concerned, and you're not yielding to a Catholic-dominated Europe. So Revelation 13, Revelation 13, Revelation 13. You could take a look at European history. The Catholic Church was vicious, brutal, in how they tortured people. Horrific thing. I am sure I've seen more Holocaust footage and films than everybody in this room put together and probably all the churches put together. I've been to more of the Holocaust camps than I'm sure most everyone. But I tell you, I watched a documentary on the Catholic Church and the tools they used against people who wouldn't confess to be Catholic, the torture instruments. And it was so satanic, I just had to turn it off. They came up with ideas for torture. Only demons could come up with these ideas. It was horrible. This is when the Catholic Church was killing and torturing people. Let's remember that eventually we're going to see a leader, verse 11, Revelation 13:11. Revelation 13, 11, I saw another beast. This is a religious dictator. Eventually, the Catholic Church will rise, great descriptive of the Catholic Church, two horns like a lamb. So it appears Christ-like, but it speaks like a dragon. This is the Catholic Church. They appear to be Christian, but they speak like a dragon. Satan's behind it. Verse 12, and he exercises all the authority of the European beast dictator. So the Catholic Church is backed up by this European beast dictator. Talks about a deadly wound healed. We won't get into that today. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So this entity, this dictator, this religious dictator, there's going to be great signs. It's one of those things when it happens, we'll say, wow, those are great signs for sure. But Satan is behind it all. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the European dictator, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. We'll get into some of these details at another time. In verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. If you just let the Bible interpret the Bible, the buying and the selling, verse 17, revolves around whether you keep the law of God or not. So I believe you will have to prove you are Catholic. You have to prove you are Catholic. I have a video clip I would like to show the church sometime, and it takes place in Croatia in an area called the Balkans, which Croatia at the time of Hitler was very pro-Hitler, very Catholic, and it shows during that time people had to join the line. They joined a line. There's a Catholic priest. And they had to confess that they were Catholic or else they were put in a different line. It's very graphic, very powerful. There's a camp, notorious concentration camp in Croatia called Jasenovac. It's spelled with a J, Jasenovac. I've been there. And they killed Jews, but they killed Serbs who were considered Orthodox, not Catholic. The Catholics who ran that camp were so brutal to the prisoners, Hitler himself was shocked with their brutality and told them to back off. The way they beat people and torture, not that Hitler liked Jews or wanted to see them treated well, but he felt the brutality was so great, it would infect the population a bit. Just beat them up a bit and kill them, but don't go that far. It's your son of us. It's outside of Zagreb, one of the strangest locations for the concentration camp. So I'm just mentioning here, the Catholic Church is vicious. It's venal. A lot of sincere people go to the Catholic Church. We know that. We probably have relatives or friends. My mother's side of the family were German Catholic, German and Polish Catholic, Lithuanian Catholic on my mother's side. French-speaking, French-Canadian side, they were Catholic. My parents, they got married. Neither one of them wanted to have anything to do with the Catholic Church, so I wasn't raised Catholic. They were just non-religious. I wasn't raised with any religion. I knew who Christ was in a way. That's about it. I knew who there were these disciples. That's about all I knew. Very ignorant, which is probably good. So the Catholic Church is going to rise again. So we wait for this to happen. Pope Francis, still very much the Pope, I think I showed this to you before, something I talk about it in prophecy Bible studies and on the radio program. Spectator magazine, really well known in Europe, oldest English language newspaper in the world, I think established in 1828. Always have a good article or two every edition, but Damian Thompson writes, he's a staunch Catholic, but he hates Pope Francis, okay? Now, this is 2017, but I've told you before, a lot of European cardinals want to get rid of this pope. They don't want to hear about climate warming. They don't want immigrants to be embraced. And he's saying all these things. I believe he has come out and said Catholics should be vaccinated. So European cardinals are saying no, no, no on all these issues. They don't like him. His health is failing. It doesn't mean he's going to die in the next 2 weeks. We just watch it very closely. Eventually, there's going to come on the scene a charismatic pope who's going to wake up all of Catholic Europe. We just wait for this. It's going to happen. There's just a real battle going on behind the scenes at the Vatican. And this latest book, I didn't read the whole thing. It's called The Next Pope, how this Pope watching expert goes through, I think it's 19 of the most likely candidates who will be the next pope of the Roman Catholic Church. So I'm just interested in seeing who the two or three top runners. Right now, I believe, possible favorite, I think it is an Italian. I mean, the Italians want to get back to their roots. They want a conservative individual. Oh, I should know, but I forgot his name. We'll just watch that. So something on the radar screen to remember. Soon there's going to be a great dictator in Europe. Let's go to Revelation 17, then I'll close. Let's go to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation chapter 17 speaks of an end time woman who is bluntly called a whore. This is God's language, not mine. She's a whore. What do you think God thinks of the Catholic Church? They kill people. They make people drunk, the Catholic leadership, I should say, drunk with the wine of her fornication, verse 2. All these political relationships. The Catholic Church is very political. The Catholic Church is a great harlot or a whore, verse 1. She has killed many. Verse 5, on her forehead is the name Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. You can't get more of a punch in the face than that. God hates this church. It is anti-Christ. It's a great counterfeit. It kills God's people, verse 6. I saw the Catholic Church drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So she will yet again vigorously pursue those who do not yield to the Catholic dictatorship, and she will persecute God's people and kill in large numbers. There will be a time in the future when a large number of God's people will be killed. Some will be protected in a place of safety. All of this we will discuss later. Notice verse 14, it says, these will make war with the Lamb. This European dictator, along with the Catholic Church, will make war with Jesus Christ when Christ returns. So the mark of the beast and the persecution that takes place in the future is centered around the fact that God's people keep the commandments of God, particularly the Sabbath stands out as the commandment that gets the attention because it's so Jewish is the way they see it. But even the holy days as well. So we watch Europe. Europe is very unsettled now. What will happen with all these refugees? Will they be allowed into Europe? Will they just drive through the fences, which some of them will do? It's a desperate situation over there. And we know we live in the end times. And we're told in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, we look at all these things, not as any type of entertainment. That's for sure. It's not entertaining at all. It's a great tragedy. It's a bit frightening for people. But we need to be accounted worthy to escape all things. That's why we must stay close to God. Put sin out of our lives. Your prayer life is more important now than ever before. That's how you draw close to God. Then you have the power to overcome and to stay spiritually clean. So great to be here. I think we'll have even more people next Sabbath. And I don't think anyone per se has to worry that, well, somebody still has the virus among our group. Or I mean, you never know if somebody's immunity is fighting the virus. That's not what I mean. But and we will meet here next week, even though we will broadcast from Oklahoma. Enjoy the Sabbath.